Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, February 9th, 2012. Well, I love the artistic process, whether it's watching a play rehearsal, reading a writer's first draft, or in this case, listening to uncut demos. I recently picked up Downhear's Thunder After Lightning CD, and have fallen in love with these rough cuts of songs that haven't yet found their way onto one of the band's CDs. Here's the first track from Thunder After Lightning, a song called Close to Midnight, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Friendship with tonight's guest spans about three decades. We've had the chance to spend time at conferences, play music, and generally goof around. But Ken Percy's latest project combines his love for music, music production, and his father's love for words in a new audiobook called My Adventures with Christ. Ken's on the phone with us from his Bowmanville office to talk about this. Good evening, Ken.
Hey, Robert. How are you doing, my friend?
Not bad. Now, listen, you've been playing music as long as I've known you. When did you actually start singing and playing?
Well, I remember as a young kid. My goodness, we had a young group in Galt, Cambridge now, but way back in the early 70s, and a couple of kids from the youth group got together, and I was playing guitar at that time, believe it or not, and sang at different outdoor park services and the such, and so I guess that's when my love for singing, the singing part of it, really took hold.
Now, when did you actually start playing? Like you said, you're playing guitar then, but you've branched off into keyboard, and actually you're a bit of a multi-instrumentalist there. When did you actually start getting into piano and focusing on piano and music?
Well, piano lessons goes back, as far as I can remember. My mom has a picture of me at 9 months crawling up to the old Mason and Rich piano in my grandmother's place and pounding on the keys then. But I mean, I remember the ages of 3 and 4 and 5, mom and dad trucking me down to the piano teacher, and we didn't have a piano at the home, so we'd go into the sanctuary where mom and dad were the pastors of the Salvation Army Church there, and I'd pound away at the piano in the sanctuary, and that's where I started playing piano. I've kind of graduated through the different instruments, guitar, bass guitar, keyboard, synthesizers, and now music production and recording, all the way up through my life, I guess.
And of course, being in the Salvation Army brass was always there in the background.
Oh yes, the Salvation Army. I remember taking theory lessons from Salvation Army bandmaster in Grand Bank, Newfoundland, of all places, and that's where my love of music really, I guess, really took hold, and seeing the theory aspect of it, and how, I mean, the notes can be woven together to produce a story, and to evoke feelings of love and worship for our Creator.
Now, who have been your main influences as a musician?
Oh, my goodness, my main influences?
Yeah.
Maybe it was probably better to say who wasn't my main influence. I've loved everybody from the Beatles to Bach. When I was growing up in the 70s, and of course when you and I were together, I mean, I was a big Earth, Wind & Fire fan. I still am. Earth, Wind & Fire, Grand Funk Railroad. Oh my goodness! All of the bands of the 60s and 70s. I was a lover. Still am a lover of Billy Joel, his piano work. I do love Bach and the intricacies of what he has woven together to the praises of his Lord. You know, the different. I guess I would say I'm fairly eclectic.
Yeah.
In my musical tastes. I mean, I love everything from a wonderful symphony to a get-down a backbeat of a rap tune.
Well, I remember times us goofing around and doing like a bossa nova version of Jesus Loves Me or something like that, you know, just... in looking at that, you mentioned Bach, and I mean, that was the Baroque period, and that ornamentation was all part and parcel of Baroque music in that, and that seems to be something that I've noticed is woven through some of the stuff you do in terms of providing not just the melody but the ornamentation behind it that weaves the melody and makes it even much more influential when you add the words to it.
Well, what I try to do in my arrangements is I don't touch the melody at all. If I'm playing for someone else, I will play around the melody and weave an accompaniment that enhances or highlights the melody and highlights the vocal style or the instrumental style of the soloist. And in doing that, trying to bring in every aspect of my musical influences over the years from Beethoven, Bach, and Earth, Wind & Fire, the whole genre of music.
Now,
that's what I've tried to do in the different recordings and productions that I've been doing so far.
Right. Now, one of the things that I've noticed with a number of artists and musicians that is they've had to have a day job, and yours for a number of years has been as an ordained minister with the Salvation Army, and that's included both as a pastor and in areas like public relations. Has being full-time in ministry made it a challenge to keep the music ministry component going and keeping up to date with things like that?
Well, Robert, I think it goes hand in hand. I mean, as far as being the music industry, for me, and I probably, this is a topic for another conversation, but I mean, it is more of a ministry than a business. Right now, I mean, I weave everything I do musically into to what I do as an ordained minister on a Sunday morning when I'm at the keyboard leading worship, when I'm visiting someone in their home. I had a chance to visit a beautiful friend of mine who was in hospital suffering from a mental breakdown and attempted suicide. And I sat by his bed and I just sang to him. I mean, no words. He, you know, as far as vocal or conversation, no words could do. And I just sat there with an open hymn book and just sang a cappella. And I mean, you know, it seemed like it's basically what he needed and is what I needed at the time. I believe God used that then to minister to him. So it is indeed a ministry. So as far as what I do as an ordained minister with the Salvation Army, it is an intricate part of who I am, what I do as an ordained minister. And then if people come along and they want to partner with me in that and do a recording or something like that, then we can use that to bless other people as well.
And you've had an opportunity through that and through that ministry with the Salvation Army to do a number of things. I mean, I remember you doing music outreach at the Calgary Olympics. What have been some of the highlights of some of the things you've done with your music?
Well, the Calgary scene was one of the major highlights. Back in 1988, we had formed a band of some of my college buddies, and we went down and we played different venues through the Calgary Winter Olympics, and we were at schools and churches and shopping malls. We did everything from Bach to the Beach Boys, and it was a hilarious time. And the highlight of that was playing on the international stage in front of 30,000 people in the Olympic Village, and bringing the gospel through the medium of music. We followed the Arabian belly dancers, and it was a real wonderful time. And we people cheered, and they got the gospel at the 1988 Winter Olympics. And actually then, I became what's known as a pinhead. I started collecting Olympic pins, and I've got scores of those now in my collection.
I think we called you a pinhead long before then.
Oh, I know. Thank you so much, Robert.
Yeah. Anyway, what we need to do is take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Ken Percy, and talk about some of the current things he's involved with. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Well, that was One Small Step from the Down Here CD, Two at a Time. We're going to continue our conversation with Ken Percy. And Ken, what I wondered too is part of the art of music, and some people don't often think of this, is the whole aspect of production. I mean, when you listen to, you know, CDs like we just listened to in that, there's an awful lot that goes and is involved in the background. When did you yourself become interested in production and studio work?
Well, I mean, I started way back years ago, actually, when you and I met for decades ago, in my own little music room in the basement of Mom and Dad's.
You're going to use the words reel to reel, aren't you?
Oh yes, reel to reel. I had an old 8-track Akai reel to reel, and I would dub over and bounce tracks back and forth, and have a whale of a good old time with that. And I started thinking, well, you know, when you're doing this, there's so many different ways you can place music in the stereo spectrum. I mean, I was just listening to a friend of mine who's a music productionist as well, and there are at least three spatial areas in music production. I mean, there's the stereo spectrum from left to right, pan pot, and all this. Where do you place the track in that? Where would it sound best? Then there's that's kind of the horizontal. Then there's the vertical of frequency, high or low. Then there's the one of depth. How big is your room? Back, forward? Do you want to bring a track to the front? Do you want to lay it to the back? Do you want to add special reverbs? And so there's a complete multi-dimensional. Sometimes we just think about it as we've got a left and right speaker. But within that area, there are so many different dimensions of where to place music and to weave the musical tracks together in such a way that you're actually telling a story.
Well, I think my mind is automatically flipping to some of the classics. I mean, Led Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love, where you have that, all of a sudden you have the guitar going back and forth between left and right. You know, The Who's Pinball Wizard, where, you know, they're starting out with the acoustic guitar on one side, and then all of a sudden the electric guitar comes in on the other side. And I mean, there's just so much that you can do within that sphere. How has that whole aspect of music change with production, change with technology? I mean, we're talking about an 8-track reel-to-reel recording device. Now you've got, you know, computerization and things like that. How has that changed in terms of giving you opportunities to even do greater things with the music?
Oh my goodness, it's grown by leaps and bounds. I mean, I went from the old reel-to-reel, then I got one of those little Porta Studios, the four-track cassette things, and you know, computers. I started with a little computer, could only do a couple of tracks at a time. It has grown and is continually growing almost on a daily basis. I mean, the processing speed on computers now are just amazing. I myself have one of these iMacs that I've goosed up the RAM and the speed, and the thing is a rocket machine and enables me to do upwards to you know, hundreds of tracks, laying down hundreds of different music styles and plugins and software instruments and reverb units, and I mean the list goes on and on and on. It's a daily learning experience.
Now, what do you say to the critics that might say that this has actually dehumanized that process? I mean, at one point in time, if you were a studio engineer, there was certain talents in the ear. And the way you manipulated the technology, you know, the soundboards and stuff like that. But now a lot of that is automatic. Is that dehumanizing the process?
Well, you know, it takes in, because you still have to have the skill to operate the machinery. The machinery will not start up and record by itself. You still have to have a fellow there. I mean, a guy. Like I say, it's a learning experience from every day. There's something new every day that comes across your desk. And I mean, juggling the two different pastimes. It's not pastime. I mean, my calling is as a Salvation Army officer, a minister of the gospel. But when I get on a day off or have some downtime to get into the studio, oh my goodness, the learning curve is astronomical. And no. I guess it can be some dehumanizing, I guess. For instance, I mean, I have one of these big, huge keyboards that I can produce anything you want just right on the keyboard to do multi-track. I mean, I can lay down any type of instrument from an oboe solo over a symphony orchestra to a hip-hop beat. I mean, you can do anything, but you still have to have the skill to sit down at the keys and do it.
Right.
So, I mean, some bands will look at an instrument like me, like that I have, and be quite put out by it, but it's all there. You still have the skill. I mean, there's drums that I have. I mean, I've got a good friend of mine, Terry Harney, who comes down and will lay down drum tracks for me. So, I mean, there's some stuff that you cannot do on an electronic instrument. And some electronic instruments do not have the warmth and feel of the acoustic, an acoustic upright bass or an acoustic set of drums or anything like that. But then that brings in the whole other area then of miking. You've got to mic each drum and each cymbal and the whole thing. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that you did with all of this is taking your father's autobiography, My Adventures with Christ, and it began as a book, and now you've turned it into an audiobook. How did you, what sort of is a story behind all of that getting into a process? I mean, he wrote it initially as a book, and now you've added music and sound effects and the whole thing to it.
Well, it happened. Dad was always, I mean, he's been a Salvation Army officer all of his life. He's retired now, living out west. And, I mean, the adventures, actually, that he's had are basically that. They are real adventures in the service of his Lord as a Salvation Army officer throughout Canada. So he put pen to paper a number of years ago and wrote a small book, 18 chapters long. There's a lot of stuff that wasn't covered. A lot of adventures that he had didn't get covered in there because of the the length. I mean, you'd be able to use it for a doorstop if it was if everything was written down. But I mean, the book sold like hotcakes as far away as Norway. And I said to Dad, I said, you know, Dad, why don't you do a reprint? People are wanting, they're asking for the book, and you're sold out. He said, oh, Ken, I'm too old for this now, being in his late 70s. I'm too old to do that anymore. And I said, well, I tell you what, why don't I record you? And at that time, I was going through a personal drama of mine, and I was actually living in the basement of my parents' home, and so I had the wherewithal to meet with my father almost on a daily basis and set up my little portable recording studio. I had a USB audio input and a laptop and all this type of thing. So I sat down on a dad on a chair, and over the period of 9 months, I recorded my dad reading his book. And I said to Dad, I said, Dad, tell me a story. Tell me a story. So he sat there and read his book to me, and I recorded him. And that was 4 years ago. And so we just released now the audio version of My Adventures with Christ on an MP3 CD in the 1st of December. And so it's taken 4 years of work to bring it to the completion stage. And each chapter, 18 chapters, each chapter is backed up by music that I've produced with sound effects that brings my adventures to Christ of my dad, brings it right to life. And you can hear excerpts of my dad out on the open ocean in the on the North Atlantic, surrounded by a pod of whales. I mean, it's just some of the. I mean, I listen to it now, and some of it will make you makes my hair stand on end. And mm-hmm. I've listened to Dad over the last 4 years doing it. You know, so. But it, I mean, this was, I guess, a real labor of love. We've put a lot of our time and energy and our finances in. To this, both my wife Donette and I, and we've put it out there for you know for a blessing to people. I mean, it's available. I think the price is $24.95. If you want to ship it out, it's $5.95 for shipping and handling. But I mean, out there, we've had orders right across the country from Victoria to St. John's, Newfoundland, and people are buying it. It's a real interesting listen. If you're a fellow like me who processes everything audibly and by ear, mm-hmm. then it's a wonderful tool, and especially for those who are visually impaired, it would be a lovely asset to their book library.
Just want to take one last quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue and finish up our conversation with Ken Percy. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Flying is not
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Not About Wings from the Down Here CD, Thunder After Lightning. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to finish up our conversation with Ken. Ken, what's next for Adventures with Christ, with My Adventures with Christ?
Well, you know, we still have one or two CDs that are available. My dad has been selling them out west, but the next thing I believe we're going to be looking at getting it up on iTunes, so people can download it directly onto their iPod. That's basically how I listen to a lot of my music and audio books is on my iPod and my wife on our iPad, that type of thing. So we'll be making it available, hopefully down the road. Then we'll have an e-book as well. If they want it in print, they can download it directly to their Kobo reader or iPad as well.
Now, what about you? What's next with you in terms of the music and ministry and stuff you do?
Well, I'm looking at my own CD after all these years. I mean, I'm into my 50s now, and after all these years of doing retreats and conferences and playing and leading worship and all these things, people say, "Oh, you got a CD?" And I always had to say, "Well, no, I don't." Well, for my birthday in April, I'm planning on releasing my debut CD after all these years. In the Stillness, and it's just a look at some of the grand old hymns of the church, some of them done in a little bit unorthodox way, as only the musical imagination of Ken Percy could do it.
Well, that scares me.
Yeah, it should. Be afraid, be very afraid. I've been at the keyboard and been thoroughly blessed by the Lord's leading musically in some of the arrangements that are coming out,
yeah.
And we're putting that to CD, hopefully for release sometime in April.
If people are interested in either that or My Adventures with Christ, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can actually give us an email, kmpstudioproductions@gmail.com.
Great. Ken, thanks very much for your time today.
Not a problem.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection, thanking my guest Ken Percy. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter @selaw13, S-E-L-A-W 13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.